Blog Talk Radio.
Delving past the headlines, sorting through the media bias, exposing the propaganda, and challenging you to use your brain. It's time to tap into the truth.
Yes, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, it is indeed time to tap into the truth. Welcome to today's broadcast. Hope you're having a great Sunday wherever you are. Thought it would be an interesting idea when everyone else is doing their countdown shows to try and get a group of different conservatives from various versions and viewpoints of the conservative world. Mostly we'll be talking to different talk show hosts and then a few just political activists. As we go, though, at the very top of the show, joining us today is Ms. Sarah Marie Brenner. She is, of course, the host of the Sarah Marie Brenner Show. She's also a writer and contributor to the Washington Times. You can find the Sarah Marie Brenner Show currently on Heartland Radio. And, of course, she is one of my favorite talk show hosts, period. I really enjoy her. I want everybody to welcome Sarah Marie Brenner to the show.
Jim, thanks so much. It's really a pleasure to be here, and I've been following your show for quite a while, too, so I'm really glad to be on.
Well, thank you. That actually does mean a lot to me. I do appreciate that fact. Like I said, I really wanted to get people's different takes, folks that are in the business who talk about these things, who look at them, who are paying a little better attention than just the average citizen, get their take on what the biggest stories of the year happen to have been. And try to get their take from it. And, of course, your name was one of the first people I thought of, and I wanted to contact you. Realistically speaking, though, I want to kind of step back and do exactly that and get your take. What, in your mind, were the biggest stories of this past year?
Well, the way that I've kind of been looking at this the last week or so, I'm going to have a story that will be on WashingtonTimes.com Monday, actually, where what I'm looking at is what can we learn from some of the top stories? Because I think we all have our own sort of lists of top stories, and we always seem to kind of remember the ones that happened most recently instead of really looking back over the course of the whole year. So I'm going to look at about 10 stories, but for the purpose of today, four of the ones that I thought your listeners might have an interest in, the Boston Marathon, Obama's trustworthy poll numbers, Ted Cruz and his 21-hour-plus speech, and Edward Snowden. And we can break all those down if you'd like and talk about sort of what our takeaways can be and what we can learn from each one of those.
All right. Well, that sounds like a great place to start. After all, one of the most important things we do in trying to remember history, whether it's happening now or happened 50 years ago, 100 years ago, is so that hopefully we do learn something and not repeat the mistakes, and so we can
repeat
the positive. So let's go ahead and start with the Boston Marathon bombing and what's your takes on that and what you think our takeaways ought to be.
I think one of the biggest things that we should remember and take away from the Boston Marathon bombing is that Obama's repeated claim that we have not had a terrorist attack on American soil since he's been president is absolutely false. And he repeats it and says it over and over again, and every time I hear it, I want to yell at the television and say, you're a liar, because he is lying. We have had terrorist attacks on American soil, on the continental United States. I'm not just talking about embassies on the other side of the world. Of course, you know, we can talk about Benghazi and all of those other things, too. But what I'm looking at is the fact that we have a president who repeatedly lies. But terrorism is still an issue. And the other part we can take from this is that no matter what they want to say, our intelligence agencies are still a discombobulated mess, because we could have caught these guys had our intelligence agencies had their wits about them and actually followed up properly on what the Russians gave to us. And the third part from the Boston Marathon bombing, and this is maybe the part in my mind anyway that's the most frightening, We saw that we have a population that will relatively quickly remit all of their individual rights back to the state. We saw the police doing these door-to-door searches and people just letting them right on in. And I remember seeing that television footage and seeing the police officers, you know, walking up stairs of some of these downtown townhome type of houses looking for both of these guys, and people just let them right in the door. And I actually think that's kind of frightening. You know, when you have 5 or 10 police officers with a lot of artillery coming in your home and you just let them right on in, the martial law aspects of this and the individual rights, I think, are a huge aspect that we need to keep in mind going forward, especially as we have other tragedies, I'm sure, that will, you know, come as they always do.
Right. Well, you know, I think part of that is instinctively we want to trust the police, and we want to make sure that if there is somebody hiding nearby, we do want to cooperate. But at the same time, yeah, it is very important that we keep in mind how much of our actual freedoms are we giving up. If we know somebody's not in our house, why are we letting them in? But, yeah, it was kind of a frightening police state appearance. And it's one of those things, though, where what's the line? At what point do we say public good versus individual freedoms? Personally, I like to lean towards personal freedoms. I say that police work is hard for a reason, and not just anybody ought to be doing it. But at the same time, if we don't take the steps to secure our individual freedoms, it's real easy for somebody to come along and accuse us of a crime and not need any proof at all if we get too far down that road.
Right.
And also, I think one of the other things that really kind of disturbed me about that was how quickly these two suspects, or at least the younger of the two, kind of became a pop icon for a little bit, how these girls suddenly were just swooning over him in these teen magazines, and it was like there was a complete disconnect as to who he was and what he was accused of having done.
Yeah, and I think that's part of why Obama, too, was able to get away with this ongoing lie that we haven't had a terrorist attack, because the media, you know, the mainstream media that we all love so dearly, the way that they handle things, would not really classify this in the way that it should have been classified. I mean, it's not just some celebrity from Russia who, you know, came to the U.S. and was part of our society who all of a sudden set off bombs. I mean, these are guys who, if you really want to look back at the history and what happened and who they are, this was a terrorist attack. And thanks to our media, Obama is able to get away with this lie repeatedly over and over and over again that we haven't had any terrorist attacks on the soil here since he's been president. And it just simply is not true. And, of course, that kind of, if you want to get into the next one, that kind of gets into his trustworthy poll numbers as well, because, of course, we're seeing those start to change course.
Right. And actually, I was just about to mention that. The poll numbers, I think, definitely has the DNC at the moment in some type of spiral. The man honestly believed that his charisma alone is enough to convince people when he walks in the room.
Yeah.
And I hadn't had a chance to look at it, but I saw that there is a new article out today trying to essentially whitewash everything we know about Benghazi and try and go back and say that the administration's story about the video is actually true. Is this still part of their attempt to try and preserve Obama's appearance to the public?
Well, I mean, that's just what the mainstream media does. I think we're all used to, at this point, the fact that the media will cover up for this administration and for this president in ways that we have not seen with any other president, really, until we've had this president. The media coronated him in 2007. And going into 2008, that he was going to be the nominee, he was going to be the next president, and he was going to be this messiah and savior figure. And so they can't really fall on their own sword, because then they look like a bunch of idiots. So every time there is something that happens with Obama, that questions his authority, his position, his intelligence, his leadership capability, his policies, whatever it may be, they have to circle the wagons and come back because it's their own integrity that's at stake here, not just Obama's. And that's the mistake that the media makes. They shouldn't be taking sides in elections. They should be telling the truth about all the candidates out there, and then they wouldn't have this problem. But they've dug their own hole. And thankfully, Obama's trustworthy numbers now are starting to shift because that's really what's kept him infallible. And I don't think that's going to be the case anymore because we've now seen with, you know, a number of things, but most recently that if you like your plan, you can keep your plan statement that Obama lies. And that long term, you can't get away with that with the American people. You may get away with it short term, but not long term.
Yeah, and this is definitely something. It will be Obamacare that's his ultimate downfall as far as that trustworthiness. Because as more and more people actually get a look at the policies that are available on the exchanges and see the price tags and see their doctors that aren't in the networks that they can afford to get, the lie becomes painfully obvious.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, yeah. It also becomes painfully obvious to me that 15 minutes isn't a lot of time when you're talking to an interesting guest, so we'll have to kind of hurry here, I guess, to get in your other two topics.
Sure.
Ted Cruz, and of course his speech that some folks erroneously
yep.
call a filibuster, but for all intents and purposes,
it's not a filibuster.
It's okay to call it
right.
that. Right.
Right. Yeah, it's not technically a filibuster. I wrote on this when it happened and said that this 21-plus hour speech was actually a win for Ted Cruz, and I still believe that it is, because without what he did, without putting such a spotlight on the Obamacare travesties, we really wouldn't have seen the attention on Obamacare probably until the website failure. And he kept
right.
Obamacare in the forefront. He has kept it in the front now for months. And so, in my opinion, the takeaway from this and what we can learn is that standing up for what you believe in really does pay off long term. It might not look like it right then and there, but long term it does pay off. And, of course, the last one is Edward Snowden, and I can talk to you about that one, too.
All right. Well, let's just go right ahead then.
Okay. I know you're tight on time. So one thing about Snowden, I never said that he was a traitor, and I think that that's important because I don't think he's a traitor, first of all, and I know there are a lot of listeners probably who think that he is, but I actually don't think that he was because he was releasing information that we needed to be aware of. And frankly, I wish that more people would make it public when this government is violating our rights rather than hiding that. And so what we learned, I think, from him is a few things. First of all, that one man can really make a huge difference in the world. You know, I think a lot of times we look at that as sort of this proverbial statement that you can make a difference. Well, look at what Edward Snowden did. He actually did make a difference. And for those out there who believe in this New World Order kind of concept, you know, that's what he's fighting, is that and the establishment that will fight back to continue doing whatever they're doing, even if it's unconstitutional. And so I think those are very important parts of that Snowden situation. And, of course, you know, the fact that Russia is keeping him there says a lot about our partnership, if there will be one, going forward. So I still think that's one of the biggest stories of the year, actually, and there's a lot to take away from it.
It's hard to argue that. I mean, you can make cases for several other stories, but I don't think anybody's top five, top ten list would be complete without it. And in a lot of ways, I kind of think that the Snowden and Ted Cruz stories do kind of go hand in hand in so much as
mm-hmm.
in both cases you have somebody that shows America that there are still people willing to stand on principle regardless of what that cost may be, whether it be political or everything, like the life that Snowden had to walk away from in order to be there. Do you have any predictions, anything that you're expecting to see as a big story or something upcoming for the year?
Well, I think the thing that everybody has to focus on for 2014 is winning back the Senate for the Republicans. And I think when we look at turnout, especially conservatives, I talked about this on a show I was on yesterday, that we have to find ways to make sure in 2014 the conservatives turn out to vote. And so I think we have to focus on messaging from a local level, not just looking at the RNC message, but really getting local candidates and statewide candidates and U.S. Senate candidates to talk about what's important to their state. and win the hearts and minds of those folks who are going to be voting for them so that we can get more people in the Senate in 2014. Because if we can do that, we can work with Obamacare, we can control the last 2 years of this presidency, and I think really be able to have a big impact, especially stopping some of these appointments and other things. So I think the Senate, it has to be the big focus for 2014.
All right. Well, let me tell you something, folks. If you're not already listening to the Sarah Marie Brenner Show, you're missing out. Sarah, where can they find your show?
Oh, that's kind of you. Thanks so much. If you go to sarahmariebrenner.com, and there's no H on Sarah, sarahmariebrenner.com, you can find everything I do there, the columns for the Washington Times. You can click on the radio show link and find all the podcasts, and certainly would love to hear from your listeners.
Well, I'll certainly I have, of course, mentioned before, I retweet a lot of your tweets, and like I said, I have been a bit of a fan. So,
well, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate you spending part of your Sunday here with us today, and just a reminder, if you haven't seen the show description, all the links to Sarah's Facebook page, to Sarah Marie's Twitter feed, and to the Sarah Marie website, they're all there as well, and I will try here in a little bit to sneak those into the chat room. In the meanwhile, thank you very much, Sarah, and I hope that you have a very blessed New Year.
Thank you so much, Tim. Happy New Year.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Sarah Marie Brenner, and like I said, if you haven't already been listening to her, then by all means, check it out. Follow the link. She is one of the really good ones. Now, next up, like I said, wanted to do this in kind of a round-robin style, have other hosts coming on board. And next up is Larry Bravery. He is the host of the Prime Directive right here at Blog Talk Radio. And if you haven't been catching the Prime Directive on usually on Friday nights, isn't it, Larry?
Usually Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern.
I noticed you weren't on this past Friday. You moved it to Saturday.
Well, I had a few problems, so now we're moved up again to Friday at the usual time.
All right. Well, you know, I was looking forward to hearing the show, and of course, like I said, I like to keep everybody, when I recommend shows, that they have an opportunity to check them out. If you are a longtime listener to the show, you know Larry is a fairly regular caller over here, which, of course, I also appreciate. Larry? I'm asking the same questions to everybody who comes on today, and that is, in your opinion, what do you think the biggest stories news-wise for 2013 were?
I'm going to have to put at the top of my list Ed Snowden and the story about all the information he broke. And that's not because he revealed anything new. Anyone who keeps up with things in the hacker community or computing or computer security knows this was going on for a very long time. It's just that he brought it to the public attention in a very real way by actually revealing certain classified documents like PowerPoint presentations that brought it home. But it's really nothing new, but it's getting more and more problematic because they're building a greater and greater web of data collection, including that humongous data center out in Bluffdale, Utah.
What do you think is still the disconnect between most of everyday rank-and-file Americans with understanding the threat that that actually poses?
I think part of it would be something my sister had said to me. I was saying, what about all this government surveillance? And I had to reply, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I have nothing to hide. And that's not the way it works. Remember, this information is going to be used by criminals to do things that are not in your best interest or in the country's best interest. If you're not doing anything wrong, that doesn't mean they can't get you or nothing bad can happen. And I will point out, and I had my episode, Three Felonies a Day, that every person usually on the average unknowingly commits three felonies a day simply because the U.S. code and the legal system is so complex, you don't know what it is. And the way they operate first they decide they're going to charge you with something, they want to get you, then they look around and find the charge. And what they're doing with this NSA data that's not admissible in court is they come back and phony up a legal investigation and bring this evidence in through some investigation that's legal but never happened. I think they called that parallel construction, and then they bring that out in court, which is outright perjury, outright fraud, and that in itself is a felony, but they're getting away with it.
Well, you know, again, that comes back to that level of understanding your rights, and much like what Sarah Marie had mentioned earlier, we saw those images of the police state during the Boston Marathon bombing house-to-house search. It literally looked like martial law was in full force.
It was a rollout of martial law. It's like a beta test or a conditioning to get people used to the idea that police can invade your home without a warrant, without probable cause or no legal basis. And they did it before in Katrina. They went house to house, busted into people's houses, took guns, used explosives to blow up in gun safes, took people's legally owned guns that they needed to protect themselves in time of emergency, and the police also gunned down in cold-blooded murder people who were trying to leave the scene of the hurricane, and I think some were ultimately brought to justice for it, but that was outright martial law there, and people seem to be blind to it and don't really know where it's headed, or there'd be riots in the street about all this stuff. In fact, there's a story recently about a town in California that got an armored tank for their police department. Now, what does a police department need with an armored tank? In fact, the police is being turned into a paramilitary group, and that's Obama's civilian security force, just as well funded, just as powerful as the military that he talked about previously in one of his speeches.
So how do we turn back the tide? I mean, is it really just a matter of informing everyone and trying to wake them up, or is there still something more that we, whether we're sitting here hosting a talk show or being at a town hall meeting, what's the key to getting everybody woke up?
I think people need to get out there and be visible, and this group overpasses for impeachment is a good point. And one of my stories, which is actually a non-story, is things that should be happening, but it's not happening, and that is the impeachment of Obama. And certainly, I could take the whole 2 hours of your show listing all the grounds for impeachment, maybe going back to things like declaring the Senate in recess when it wasn't, and illegally appointing people to the National Labor Relations Board, but that's just a small sampling. And people have to do what is right, and you have to call your congressperson and get them on board with this, because they will listen. We almost went to war with Syria, but there was an outpouring of protest. People didn't want this war, which could have possibly led to World War III, and they backed off of it, at least for the moment.
Well, you know, my question then becomes, is that, and much like this Phil Robinson thing where it looks like A&E has relented and there actually ended up not being any suspension at all, are these two both really good examples of the fact of one of the biggest stories in my mind is the fact that when people speak together with one voice regardless, that we still can impact our government?
I think that's exactly right. If people stood up and voiced their opinion, they're going to get results, because you can't ignore force of numbers, and that even comes down to massive violence on the part of the government. There's reportedly plans for over, what is it now, something like 2 billion bullets bought up by Homeland Security, hollow point 40 calibers that are illegal for use in warfare under the Geneva Convention, apparently for use on the American people. And they are apparently having a litmus test of military people, asking whether they are willing to fire on American citizens, and then they are being purged. But if you have such a huge force of numbers, I think even when they are prepared to use that level of violence, they wouldn't do it because of the worldwide outcry and the worldwide spectacle. And Mahatma Gandhi is a good example of using passive resistance in that manner against the military force of the British Empire. So if you have a force of numbers and use passive resistance, you can overcome a vastly superior military force simply by the world court of public opinion.
All right. Did you have any other stories that you think should be right up there along with Snowden, in your opinion?
Well, let's look at a non-story that's not being in the news. Global warming has been gone for something like 16 years, but you never know it listening to the mainstream media. And in fact, the EPA is poised very shortly to shut down our local coal-burning power plants. They're again putting the power supply in greater jeopardy. There's no need for it. You look at this plant in operation, you don't see any pollutants coming out of it like you do in China, where the air is so thick you can cut it with a knife. It's just a political agenda to give money to the favorites, a transfer of wealth to these, well, let's call them cronies of Obama, who are getting government money for, quote, green energy that's really not so green when you look into the details. Actually, I said it was green was the money that's flowing into these people's hands.
You know, there's no question. And there's a big to-do about this. A big part of this seems to be to try and make this cheap and reliable energy source that we have in abundance here in the United States inaccessible for people in the mid to middle class down. What is the end goal of trying to destroy our economy and reduce the number of people in the middle class? Is this also part of the, well, for lack of a better word, eugenics?
It is
ideology.
It is eugenics. Two things: Agenda 21 and the Cloward-Piven strategy. The Cloward-Piven strategy is in fact designed to bankrupt the middle class, and all the wealth will be ultimately transferred to the mega-rich. They talk about the rich paying a whole lot of taxes, when in fact people you might consider rich, making maybe $1 million, do pay a lot of taxes, but the mega-rich people, the billionaires, get around it. There was an article recently, and let me see where this is. It was in South Dakota. Moguls rent South Dakota addresses to dodge taxes forever, and they just need a mailing address and a good crop of lawyers, and they can work magic. And that is why we need the ferret tax. The ferret tax will tax everyone equally and eliminate all these taxes that the mega-rich never pay. In fact, you have Bill Clinton with his bogus charity raking in money to help people, supposedly, where most of it goes to pay for his luxury airplane and all the trappings of luxury that Bill Clinton thinks he deserves.
Well, you know, of course he deserves it. He's Bill Clinton.
Yeah. So impeached, as I point out, impeached President Bill Clinton is going to swear in the next New York mayor. And then just to add a few things, female Marines not required to do one pull-up. In fact, they're dumbing down the military in order to have political correctness and send women into combat. I don't know why a woman would want to go into combat or a man either, unless the country was under attack. And so far, I don't see the country being under attack or threat of imminent attack. The last time really was Pearl Harbor, where we really got attacked.
Well, I do have to say, I'm not overly impressed with the idea of trying to lessen the standards. If you're going to go into combat, hopefully it's going to be because it's absolutely necessary. And if it's absolutely necessary, you should be in the best possible condition and having had the best possible training and have the best possible equipment. Otherwise, it's pure insanity to go into harm's way with people that are very, very clever with discovering ways of getting around technology.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of our
30.
Absolutely. And you've got, when they're letting women in, I hear now they're even looking to have women into the Navy SEALs. I don't know if they're actually going to do that, but it's pretty obvious that most women are not physically up to the task of what these special forces do. Maybe a few of them are, but in general, not. And try to send a woman into combat in a Muslim country, see what happens. It's not a good place to be.
Well, I don't know that it's ever a good place to be, regardless of where you're at, if you're actually in a firefight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't like to diminish the capabilities of women. I think they have talents and capabilities, that, and some of which would be very handy in tactical situations. But as far as the physicality required of certain special forces training, yeah, I think it is a bad idea to reduce the level of expectations for women. If they want to be a Navy SEAL, then they need to be a Navy SEAL. And they need to understand that's what it takes. I'm not opposed to women in combat if they are truly committed to doing it and prove that they can do it as well as anybody else. I don't like the idea of women in combat, but part of that is my unavoidable male chauvinistic attitude that the men should protect the women. And I know that's not exactly smiled upon by a lot of modern folks these days, but as far as that's concerned, though, I mean, I stand by the fact that if a woman can do everything and that's what she wants to do, I would much rather some women I know be in combat than some of the men I know who currently wear a uniform, quite honestly. But that's neither here nor there. I guess at this point, Larry, what would be your big prediction? What do you think we can expect, or what we can see, or what we should focus on in the coming year?
Well, I think things are going to be totally surprising. We have this huge rise in stock prices and the Dow, but that's not really what's happening. It's the matter of the dollar is eroding away. The Fed is pumping out all these dollars and diluting the value of the dollars, and the new dollars are going to the mega rich to use to buy up the assets of people who might be in financial trouble. I think the other story that didn't really make the headlines is the 100th birthday of the Federal Reserve was reached. I think it was on Monday. And that's really the crime of the century when you go through all the things they've done during that 100 years to erode the value of the dollar and transfer wealth into the hands of the mega rich and really hammer the middle class with all these income taxes. So my prediction is a period of slow stagnation with Obamacare and the Democrats and their fanatical dedication to their cause, no matter what, slowly strangling the life out of our economy. I don't think anything radical is going to happen in the next year, but we're looking for a steady period of decline. As we look at what's happening in the United States used to be the great leader of the country, of the world, first in space, first to the moon. Now we have to hitchhike a ride on other countries' rockets even to get into space. And going along with data and security, we have this Target stores data breach with these millions of credit card numbers. And the incredible thing there is the United States has fallen behind in security. The magnetic stripe credit cards really aren't good in Europe. They don't accept them because of their weak security. The ones they use have a microchip embedded, which makes it very difficult to counterfeit or do fraudulent transactions. Going along with that, the way we've fallen behind is the apparent move to migrate to the metric system like the rest of the world has come to a halt, and we are probably one of the few countries left that is not on the metric system.
All right. Well, all right, Larry. I appreciate you coming on as always. If anybody's interested in finding your show or trying to find your website, I've got the links up in the chat room. And, of course, the links are also available in the show description, especially if you're finding us later on the podcast. You can check that out. But just so that you have the opportunity to tell everybody, go ahead and give out your email address and let folks know where they can find your show.
If you want to email me, you can email me at theprimedirective@me.com. And the radio show has a domain name to make it easy to find, radio.theprimedirective.net. And that will take you to the main show page on Blog Talk.
All right. Well, thank you very much, sir. I do appreciate you coming on. And, again, I hope you have a very blessed and successful new year.
Okay, you too.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Larry Beverly of the Prime Directive. You can find that right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, again, I'm going to take a quick break in just a few moments here, but I wanted to go over what the real idea was for today's show. You know, everybody does countdown shows at the end of the year. Everybody wants to go back and take a look back because, you know, a lot like Sarah Marie said, we have a tendency to remember the most recent things like Nelson Mandela's passing and the selfie. And while those will be short-lived in memory as far as the selfie story that took place there, the embarrassment will live on, but the fact that Obama took a selfie with the Danish Prime Minister and the British Prime Minister will quickly be forgotten. In fact, by about March of next year, you will probably have to remind the Democrats who want to forget it the fastest. Looking back at the full year, remembering the Boston Marathon bombing, remembering stories like Ted Cruz who stood up and showed Americans that there are still people that will do what they tell you they'll do if you elect them. And that they will stand up and fight for you, the American people. Whether you agree with them or not, he was still fighting for you. And that's what he said he would do. These are great stories, and some are good stories, some are bad stories. But what you also will find, if you talk to a group of conservatives, if you get about five or six conservatives together and ask them the same questions, you will get different answers from all these different people. Especially since if you just use the general term conservative, well, there are all kinds of conservatives, folks. You have everybody from the relatively mainstream, we support the Republican Party because they're supposed to be conservative and we'll reach across the aisle if we can accomplish something. That kind of conservative that has core beliefs but are willing to finagle around some of the social issues. Then you have hardcore social conservatives that won't budge an inch. Then you have hardcore libertarians, people that want nothing but strict constitutional limitations and get the government out of everything else, period. You also have folks that are considered out on the fringe. I wouldn't use the term except for the fact I have a few tinfoil hats of my own, and that's the tinfoil hat crowd. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter what the differences are. Ultimately, as long as we pull together and take a look at it. And what I'm kind of hoping is during the course of this particular broadcast, some of these other guests will remind you of some stories that maybe you've forgotten about yourself. And hopefully we'll have something important to take out of each one of these stories. The focal point will be different. And remember, we've had Sarah Marie Brenner. We just had Larry Beverly. Brent Williams, the owner of Frontier Firearms, he is a local guy right here in East Tennessee. He is a political activist. He has been very involved. He will be coming on here soon. And for all intents and purposes, as far as a non-candidate guest that I have had on in the past, is was one of the most well-received by you guys, the listeners. Dr. Sharon Schutz will be on, and, you know, she is, of course, co-founder of the Lady Patriots website, and she's a very good friend of the show. I think of her as a personal friend, and as far as guests go, she's been on here often enough that she could almost be considered a co-host. Also, having agreed to be on, Wayne Dupree will be on a little bit later. He is sometimes better known as the News Ninja, and he has a unique take on a lot of conservative issues, and he does a lot of efforts to try and convince minority listeners to his show that the liberals and the so-called progressives really haven't done anything to help their causes. Most importantly, they have a bad habit of lying a lot. Of course, I guess we've kind of discussed that. And also, the last scheduled guest agreed to be on the show as well, Annie the Radio Chick from Southern Sense, also here on Blog Talk. And I haven't gotten any messages from anybody that they're not going to be able to make it as of yet, so I'm fully expecting everybody to be here on the show and to have their time. With that having been said, I'm going to take a quick breath, take a quick break, and hope you're not quite over it yet, because I'm going to still play a little bit of Christmas music. I like to do that up until the first. So here's a little Christmas music during the break, and we'll be right back.
Into the truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We do start right here on Blog Talk every Sunday at 3 p.m., or at least most Sundays anyway. And one of the things I'd like to let everyone know, the music you just heard is part of a service that I utilize called Magnatune. It's one of those wonderful services that makes it capable for independent artists, folks that do not have a record label behind them, to get their music out there and available, and it is licensed, and it is completely podcast safe. So just in case you're looking for some music and have the same kind of thought process in trying to support independent artists, you might want to take some time and check them out. Of course, there's also a plethora of other services available out there, and you can always go the traditional route and pay royalties to the standard collection folks, or You could just skip the music thing altogether. But, you know, I like doing the music. I like having the bumper music. It shows up a little more on the Spreaker show because I've got a little more volume control over there and can tweak that a bit. But anyway, if you are looking for the show in podcast version, you can also find us not only here in the archive section at the show page for Tap Into the Truth, but you can find it at tapintothetruth.com. You also can find us at tunein.com, at stitcher.com, and, of course, at iTunes. So there you go. At any rate, let's go ahead and get back to the show. Waiting to hear from Brant Williams. He hasn't called in yet. He was scheduled to be next on the show. I'll see if I can't get in touch with him and find out what the holdup is. Hopefully it won't take long at all. But in the meanwhile, really do want to get everybody's take on what the biggest stories are. After all, it's been an interesting year. There's been major news stories, and a lot of things happened this year that I think are positive signs for those of us who were concerned about where our representative republic was headed. You know, we've seen signs that people are starting to wake up to the fact that our government can't just be left to its own devices, and we can't just elect somebody and walk away and expect everything to be okay. First of all, when we do send people there of good conscience and goodwill who want to do the right thing, normally they're terribly outnumbered. And the way our form of government was set up, there was an intention for there to be some level of gridlock. The idea being that if a law came before the Congress and could be passed through quickly and the president signed it into law quickly, that most likely that would be a knee-jerk reaction to something, and almost always those knee-jerk reactions are very damaging to freedom. To touch back on something that Larry mentioned while he was on the show in regards to the Federal Reserve, some of the founders themselves warned against having a centralized bank. I believe it was Thomas Jefferson who actually said that having a centralized bank issuing the currency was a greater threat than a standing army, which, oh yeah, by the way, they weren't big fans of having a standing army either. That's part of where the whole Second Amendment gun rights issue and the battle over militia comes from. The belief that the militia is supposed to be trained military, it doesn't really hold water when you look at who was considered to be the militia at the time the framers were writing both the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The militia was basically everybody of reasonable age who could use a firearm. They wanted everybody to have guns. And they wanted everyone to have guns for several reasons, not just to go hunting, not just for self-protection, but also to stand against tyranny, mostly because they knew even if they had inferior weapons, if they had superior numbers, it would still be a deterrent. We saw a lot of things like Ted Cruz standing for 21-plus hours, staying on point, staying on topic, making cogent points, and taking a brief pause to read Green Eggs and Ham to his daughters at home. That moment stands out to me more than anything, not just because it was a sweet, hey, he's actually a caring father kind of moment, but because of what happened the next day. And here's why I think this is one of the bigger stories. The media, again, showed why we cannot trust the mainstream media. Everybody, from MSNBC to NBC to CBS to ABC, all wanted to crack jokes about Green Eggs and Ham. They didn't want to talk about the fact that the last time Harry Reid tried to do a filibuster, he resorted to reading names from a phone book in order to continue to have something to say. I just wanted to make wisecracks about that moment. But for every joke they made, you know, if we turn the page back a few years and a then Senator Barack Hussein Obama was participating in a filibuster, if, you know, we kind of covered already that it wasn't really a filibuster, but because of the rules of Senate, he could keep the cloture from happening on the vote by continuing to talk as long as he didn't leave the floor. So for all intents and purposes, it's a lot alike, but technically wasn't a filibuster. But anyway, say Barack Hussein Obama had been there doing that. What would the result have been? What would this glorious mainstream media of ours said instead? They would have marveled at what a great father he was. They would have went on and on about how wonderful and caring, what a touching moment it was. And I think we all know that. I mean, this isn't even me just making assumptions or extrapolations. This is how they operate. The mainstream media has stopped being a watchdog for the people. But the people have started finding a way to be a watchdog for each other. Social media groups. Social media sites like TeaPartyCommunity.com and LadyPatriotSpace.com. Like FreedomWorks.org. Alternative media like Breitbart. And News Ninja, and shows like Larry's and Sarah Marie's and the Lady Patriots, and like Wayne Dupree's and Annie the Radio Chick. We're all in this because we see a lack of information getting to the people, and we're hoping that we will find a way to get through to some folks that, you know, aren't just part of the choir. We're hoping somebody will accidentally come across this and find something that gives them that aha moment. Out there in the heart of every well-meaning, bleeding heart liberal is a conscience of a person who really does want what's best for folks. And understand, there's a difference between the bleeding heart, well-meaning liberals and the so-called progressives. There's a big difference. And if you think I'm splitting hairs over words, you have to understand that's what they want you to think. That's how the so-called progressives, even the fact that they call themselves progressive, is how they control the language. They try to win arguments by controlling the language. They want you to believe what something means so that they sound like they're the reasonable ones in the room. Things as absurd as MSNBC host, was it Michelle Harris? She's got some other middle hyphenated name. You guys know who I'm talking about. We played it. Everything from saying that your children aren't really your children to her latest antic where she tried to make the word Obamacare sound like it was part and parcel and no different than the use of the N-word. These people try and win their arguments not based on fact, but based on emotions and by controlling the argument. So now we know, we have seen, you cannot trust and you cannot count on the mainstream media. But we also saw other signs of hope, too. Now, I have in the past expressed my concern that I really don't know if Mr. Snowden isn't actually still working for the NSA. And part of me still wonders about that. But regardless, if he is or isn't, there was information that the American people needed to know that has gotten out in their hands. People have started to wake up to the fact that our government cannot be trusted. Even if the people doing these jobs believe in their heart of hearts that they're doing the right thing, they're convinced that they're doing what they can to secure freedom and democracy, by destroying our liberties. There is a disconnect. They think it's necessary so they can protect us from those that would take us away from it, and they don't seem to realize that they are the ones doing it. Being a member of Congress or being the president is a hard job. It really is. At least if you're actually doing it and you're trying to do it right. It's a very hard job. But like I've said before, I have no sympathy for any of them. Because they ask for it. They literally beg for it. They run around spending millions of other people's dollars, and in some cases, a sizable amount of their own, to try and get the job. But a lot of that has to do with the fact that several of them have forgotten what that job is supposed to be, and that is public service. They are supposed to work for us, not the other way around, and most of them have forgotten. On my list of top stories, one of the top stories that makes the list is one of the most recent ones, and that is this god-awful budget deal. Not so much that Republicans sold out the American people again just to avoid another government shutdown, or at least that's what they keep telling themselves, but because they sold out U.S. military veterans and their pension plan. There are exactly two groups of people in this country that should never, ever have to be worried about their government breaking promises that have been made to them. One of them are seniors, and the other is our military veterans. Of course, I would extend that to our current active duty military as well, quite honestly. But then for people like Chuck Schumer to actually make statements about how they being the military veterans in this case, need to do their fair share? Chucky, newsflash, they've already done their fair share. Unless you are a veteran or are part of a military family, you have no idea the actual level of sacrifice that these people make. They have done their fair share, Chuck, and you and your brood really need to think about the fact that it's you guys that should be making cuts to your budget and sacrifice and find a way to, instead of making cuts to their pension plans, try to find a way to make increases to them, if at all possible, because they have earned it. And, you know, just FYI, ladies and gentlemen, if you happen to be listening, make no mistake about it. If they get away with this, if they don't face major pushback from the American public as a whole, it won't be the veterans and their pensions that will be the last to see the government dipping into. Understand that. Believe that. It is coming. But just like with what we saw with at Cracker Barrel and at A&E over the Duck Dynasty issues, and just like what we saw with at least the overtly efforts to get involved militarily in Syria, when the American public speaks together loudly, that voice can still be heard. And nothing scares elected officials more right now than the thought that they may not get reelected. They will cut ties with their own party during election season, and, you know, the party will also let them publicly as long as they come back into the fold once they get reelected. And all that's about playing the game. But they need to understand that we, the American people, do still stand on principles. We need to. This is how we survive. Now, you can make a case all day long that American society has lost its moral compass. You can make the case all day long that the American society has lost what makes it great. Now, I don't necessarily think that that's the case. I do happen to believe that our people have kind of went to sleep. The American people have fallen into the trap of complacency, and we've allowed our spirits to be corrupted by government handouts and the ideology that a government can do more for you than what the founders had envisioned. The war on poverty has done nothing but made people poor. The efforts to give things away have done nothing but take away from those who actually had a little something. The new battle cry to try and raise the federal minimum wage, just another example. No real thought by those who just automatically assume, hey, I have a job, and it would be great if I suddenly could go from making $7.15 an hour to $10.10 an hour, even though I had not done anything to earn that raise. So ultimately, they don't bother to stop and think, hey, if the company I work for has to shut down because they can't afford to pay everybody who works for them $10.10 an hour, where do I go get another job? Am I qualified to go get another job? Now, a lot of liberals like to turn around and say, well, they've been making this false argument forever. Businesses haven't just went away when we've raised the minimum wage before. Well, the truth of the matter is a lot of them did. A lot of them did. And a lot of the ones that made it either were already flush with cash to begin with and could afford to handle the changes, or they knew the changes were coming soon enough that they could make adjustments. But even then, what did those adjustments consist of? In a lot of cases, they consisted of letting people go, cutting back on the workforce. So now those people, along with all the other folks that were let go, cut back, they managed to find themselves in a situation where suddenly they were competing for jobs with a lot more people. And the people providing the jobs were having to demand a lot more from them at that $10 marker, whatever the next level was. People just don't get it. I don't understand it myself. Well, folks, still haven't heard from Brent yet. Hopefully we will get in touch with him soon. If not, our next guest should be on shortly, too. Scheduled in next is Dr. Sharon Schutz of LadyPatriots.com. And in the meanwhile, I am going to go ahead and take another quick break. Let's listen to a little Christmas music, shall we? And we'll be right back. Stay with us. Thank you.
Tap Into the Truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. Every Sunday at 3 p.m. right here at Blog Talk Radio, we do get started. Of course, that is Eastern Standard Time for those of you trying to find a show live, and I do appreciate live listeners. Love to have folks listening in. Love folks to be active and involved in the chat room as well. As a matter of fact, chat room is a little quieter than usual. Got Lady Michelle in there, and of course Larry from the Prime Directive is in there as well at the moment. Had a few guests early on while they were listening to Sarah Marie, and they kind of bailed on us at that point, so hopefully a few more of the regulars come in. Don't see Mary Ann at the moment. She's one of our most avid listeners, and I hope whatever she's got going on today, that everything is doing well. I hope all of you have had a very Merry Christmas. I know that I myself had a very, very good Christmas. It's always great when you get to spend time with family and when you still get to have the joy of seeing the children. And, you know, my youngest one is, she's up to 11 now, so the time goes by quickly. But she's still at a point where she gets to enjoy getting the gifts, and I got to see her get a little bit of cash from some of her relatives, and the personal joy of getting to see her decide that she's going to save some of her money. You know, if you heard that right, some. I had hoped to talk her into saving a little more of it, but it was her Christmas, so, you know, what are you going to do? As we are taking a look now at these stories from the past year, we've touched on some of the bigger ones already. And, you know, we've kind of looked at what we can expect, what we can see ahead. And, you know, one of the things that really strikes me as we kind of discussed with Larry is what I've been asking for the listeners to kind of come over to tapintothetruth.com, go down near the bottom of the homepage and send me a message. Now, you can do that in either the little message area or a little bit below that, there's a place where you can just send an email. Either one's fine. What I would like to do early next year is put together a top 10 list of stories that the listeners think were underreported. Now, we've already been talking about how our mainstream media continues to let us down in trying to bring us the truth. In fact, there's very little dedication to truth. Part of what attracted me to Sarah Marie Brenner's show initially is she is dedicated to truth. You know, she doesn't just jump on bandwagons. That's part of what I really enjoy about her show. She doesn't sit back and just take what's being hand-fed by the media. She gets in, she digs in, she finds truth. And then she's dedicated to make sure that as many people as possible know it and find it. That's also a big thing that I like about Larry. Larry, he is more of a libertarian, constitutionalist, and he is somebody that doesn't want to pull any punches. He wants to call a spade a spade. And that is something that you just don't see enough of either. You don't have to agree with any of us as far as people that are doing this talk show. You can be a lot like the caller I had last week who knows people, hates me, and geez, I don't know what was up with that guy, but you can stick your head in the sand and try and hide from things, or you can stand up and be counted. One of the other things that I think is astounding, though, is the fact that there are so many voices out there that want to make sure that you know what's going on. They want to make sure that you know
the truth. Don't just buy into the media propaganda. Don't just buy into the happy lie. Don't just believe health care will be free. Because guess what? It's not. And it never will be. It doesn't matter if Obamacare fails just like it was designed to do. They want to move you to a single-payer system, which is fancy talk for completely socialized medicine. The thing you have to keep in mind there is that the government has no money of its own. None. And as long as they're just printing a fiat currency, all they're going to do is continue to dilute the values of what we exchange. That doesn't help people at the bottom. All of these so-called social programs, very few of them provide any real service or any real good. But once they're in place, once they're firmly in stock, it's extremely difficult to remove them because the few people that will derive some benefit aren't going to want to let it go. And everyone else is going to be made to look like a villain for daring to challenge them. I get in a lot of hot water with some of my Facebook exchanges, or at least I used to. I haven't in a while. I get into a lot of hot water talking about Social Security and how it's unconstitutional. I talk about limiting the federal government, and people don't understand that our federal government had no business getting involved with forcing you to put some money away for a rainy day. They should encourage it, but they should never force it. Our federal government should not be involved in the retirement plans of anyone. Now, they find all kinds of ways of justifying it. And, of course, people will attack me for saying that and say, oh, well, you're against old people. No, I'm against people having the choice to be able to provide for their own retirement. I would much prefer an economy that's booming so that people can find work, can make an adequate wage based on competition, and be able to provide for themselves. That's what I would prefer. I tend to think that that falls into the realm of common sense, but unfortunately, our society today would rather watch Kim Kardashian than 30 minutes worth of educational material on how to prepare for retirement. Now, obviously, not everyone falls into that, and so forgive the generalizations. And we do have to be careful that we don't overgeneralize, because when we do that, that is where we start losing those people that we could ordinarily reach. And by we reaching, I'm talking about conservatives, when we're trying to talk to the folks that have been kind of nudged into believing that they should be liberal, that they should believe in big government. There's a major misconception in this country that every minority should automatically be a liberal. Even though when you look at individual communities and see the general trends within the family life, if you remove a lot of the popular pop culture influences, most Americans at their core, regardless of their families' national origins or the color of their skin, tend to be relatively conservative at heart. They believe in family and friends and standing up for one another and trying to help one another. And that's one of the biggest lies that the left keeps throwing off on the right, and the right doesn't stand up and fight back to this one near enough. The bottom line is they want to pretend like conservatives and Republicans in general, because they want to break everybody into these groups, but they want to pretend like they just don't care. Look, see, they want to stop you from getting this benefit. No, they want to get the government out of your way so you can get your own benefit, earn your own living, make your own way. That's what they want. or at least that's what the conservatives among them want. There are, sadly, some members of the Republican Party that are just as progressive as a lot of the liberals. In truth, a true liberal really isn't a part of this so-called progressive cabal. A true liberal wants to limit Big Brother, wants to keep the government out of everybody's daily lives. Stop spying on me, man. Stop trying to wage war all the time, man. But the progressives, and I call them that only because that's what they've convinced you they should be called. They want the Constitution in tatters. They want you sitting around the House thinking, oh no, Barack Obama today announced a delay in a deadline in a law. Must be okay, he's the president. But it's not okay. But you see, as long as you think it's okay, and there's no pushback, eventually you find yourself in a government that no longer is constrained by our Constitution at all. That's when you find the NSA keeping track of all your phone calls, whether you've ever left this country or not, whether you've ever left your home county or not, whether you've ever received a long-distance phone call or not, whether or not you've accidentally butt-dialed Egypt or not. Maybe you only get texts from your brother or your sister, or phone calls from your mother when it's been too long since you stopped by. Should that put you on the list of people who's having your data collected? Some of the biggest stories of this past year raise the questions of national security and the illusion of that security. Conspiracy theorists tell us that these were rollouts and attempts to further condition the American public to be willing to accept the police state. I can't say that I don't see a reason for those people to be concerned that that's exactly what's happening. But I can say that I'm hopeful that it never gets to that. I'm hopeful that that's not really what's happening. But whether you're talking about Mr. Snowden, who even now still releasing new information, new levels of data, we see time and time again from these folks that we're not getting the whole truth. The media wants to whitewash it. The media wants to keep us from knowing, because as the elder Bush said once while he was still in office, if the American people ever find out everything we've done, they'll run us all out of town. Actually, what I think he said was they'd string us all up. And there's a lot of truth in that, because have you ever noticed how it always seems like the American people are always reacting to the unintended consequences when a new law has been passed? We've had folks in office now so long that there is no way that I will ever honestly believe that we have any more unintended consequences. It's impossible for these guys not to know what doors are being opened, what windows are being left uncovered, what back doors for when they're no longer serving in our government that they can take advantage of as civilians. These people know exactly what they're up to and what they're doing. Now, I, for one, happen to think that when we take a look back at this year, there are some reasons to be concerned. We had a government shutdown that, for the first time in history, a shutdown of the government actually cost more money than to have kept it going. And still no pushback. We had every politician existing within the Beltway saying that, oh, well, this was a big loss for the Republicans. It was the Republicans' failure. It's the Republicans' fault. They caused the shutdown. And then we see people like House Speaker John Boehner come out and say that, it failed. We tried. It wasn't worth it. We shouldn't have done it. And then attack criticizing this budget deal. First and foremost, every real conservative should be criticizing this budget deal because there's certainly nothing conservative about it. And haven't we, Mr. Boehner, given enough? If you're talking from the conservative viewpoint, haven't we given enough? Because here's been the deal all along. The conservatives start on one side of the argument, the liberals start on the other side of the argument. And that very first time, we end up meeting in the middle. Well, here comes next year's budget argument, and guess what? The liberals start right where they started at, if not a little bit further to the left, but the conservatives are starting right at that middle point, and they've got to meet them again, and then again, and then again. Haven't we, Mr. Boehner, haven't we given enough? Mr. Speaker, there are conservative organizations that want to see people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and Representative Gohmert who will stand up and speak on principle, who will fight for the American people based not only on what they personally believe, but also what their constituents back home elected them to stand up and do. Now, if your constituents in your district feel differently than that, fine. But you shouldn't be surprised when these people who don't think you've done enough decide they're going to get together and try to fund opposition candidates to run against you, to run against your compadres. Right here in the state of Tennessee, there is a major push by several groups to try and primary Lamar Alexander. This has become a red state. It hasn't been a red state very long right here. Tennessee, at the state level, our government was controlled by Democrats for over 100 years. They didn't always have the governor's mansion, but they did always have control of both bodies of the state legislature. And they almost always had veto-proof majorities. They had the capabilities of running roughshod over anybody that challenged their liberal ideology. So we haven't been a red state very long, but now we know what it means to have conservatives in place. We elected Lamar Alexander largely on the fact that he may not have always been the most conservative guy we knew, name recognition, which is part of the problem in major politics these days, and because he did have an impressive resume. He had a decent track record as a public servant. I respect the man's resume. I question his most recent voting record. You see other relatively big-name senators in a similar situation. Mr. Graham in South Carolina facing heavy opposition in his upcoming primary. In the end, these are people that are waking up to the fact that you're not doing the job we sent you to do. So don't be surprised when folks organize. Now, you see them as a political adversary. And that's part of the problem. You're so busy trying to maintain your level of power that you fail to see why these people have aligned against you. It's not that they don't like you personally, although some of them may very well not. I can't speak to that. It's that if you're going to be Speaker of the House as the Republican, you're supposed to be the voice of conservatism in the people's house. If you're going to go to the Senate from a red state, you're supposed to be the voice of a state that's run on conservative principles. Yeah, that's right. As a senator, you're supposed to represent the state. A lot of people tend to forget that. Mark Levin has done an excellent job of reminding a lot of people through his Liberty Amendments book, which, by the way, if you have not had a chance to read it, I highly recommend you pick it up and read it. I highly recommend that each and every person out there listening today, whether you're hearing this show live or catching us on a podcast, find out, again, how our government's supposed to work. We used to teach civics in high school so that everyone would understand how our government's supposed to work. Somewhere along the line, we lost touch with that. Somewhere along the lines, somebody wanted us to forget. Okay, going to take another quick break, and hopefully in a little bit we'll have one of our other guests pop on. I'm batting 0 for 2 since our first two came on. Now I'm kind of wishing I'd kept Sarah on a little longer and then kept Larry on a little longer because... You know, here we are and on a show that I was really expecting to get a lot of different viewpoints on and let you guys hear a lot of different other hosts. You had to suffer through my prattling instead. So for that, I apologize. But at any rate, let's take another quick break. Let's listen to a little more Christmas music. I mean, after all, we are not going to get to for much longer. I promise I will stop the Christmas music after New Year's. Although it's sad, I do love Christmas. I love Christmas music. So anyway, take a quick break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Tap into the Truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. We do get started here every Sunday right here on Blog Talk. You also can find Tap Into the Truth over at Spreaker. Still waiting to hear back whether or not the Spreaker version of the show is going to make its way into iHeartRadio or not. Currently, our approval is pending. So I'm assuming that just means that somebody has got to take the time to listen to a few episodes and decide whether or not it's worth putting on. I have my fingers crossed. Would love to be able to reach a whole new audience that way. But right now, I'm still quite content with being on TunedIn, Stitcher.com, and at iTunes. Plus, like I said, you can always go to tapintothetruth.com. You can check out past episodes there, as well as check out the blog post. And, of course, on the homepage, have ways for you to connect with me directly, and you have ways of hopefully enjoying some great videos, because I like to post a lot of videos, things that maybe are pretty hot at the moment, things that you may have forgotten, and things you may not have come across. At any rate, we'll probably be doing a revamp at the site, but I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you too, please, I am looking to do that countdown show early next year where we go over the most important, least reported stories of the year, and I want that from your perspectives, you, the listeners. So if you won't mind going to tapintothetruth.com, go down near the bottom of the homepage, and then send me a message either through the little message board poster there, or you can just go a little bit further down and hit the email me button and just send me an email directly. Whichever one you would rather do is perfectly fine with me. I just want to know what you think were the most underreported stories of the year. Whether that means that nobody said anything about it, if you think it's really important, or there was partial reporting on it, or whatever the case may be. But most importantly, I want to make sure that it's your take, because that's what this is about, getting a conversation started. And we can do that indirectly just as well as we can directly. I usually have lots of good conversations in the chat room most episodes. Have a lot of great back and forth via the Facebook page. And if you haven't checked out the Tap Into the Truth Facebook page, by all means, please do. Just a further update, I still have not heard anything back from Mr. Williams or Dr. Schutz at this point. And now Wayne Dupree was supposed to have joined us at this point, and I haven't heard from him either. So hopefully we'll get somebody on here shortly. Not real sure. Actually, I am now getting a message from Sharon. Hold on just a second. And hopefully, Dr. Schutz has just sent me a message, and seems like she had something pop up. Since Wayne hasn't called in yet, if you guys can give me just a second, I will get her that the necessary information, and we'll see if we can't go ahead and get her on here in just a second. In the meanwhile, as I was saying, it really is important that you guys give me your take on this, because that's one of the things that I find most interesting, is I like to know what other people think. That's part of why we do this. You know, I'm on here. I tell you what I think all the time. You know, and there's no real
surprise there. That's part of what we do. If you're a host on the talk show, whether you're on radio, whether you're on TV, whether you're on YouTube or Blog Talk, or Spreaker, or Podomatic, or wherever you may be doing your thing, it also comes down to the fact that, number one, opinions dominate what we're talking about. And we like to get the take of other people, too. And now joining us will be Dr. Sharon Schutz. Hey, Sharon, how are you today?
I'm fine, Tim. I'm so sorry for not getting a hold of you. Thank you for your patience. How are you doing?
It's not at all. I'm doing very well, thank you. And I trust that you had a very Merry Christmas.
Oh, I did. I spent time with my kids, and all but one of my grandbabies was here, and we just had a wonderful time.
Well, that's absolutely great. There really isn't anything that's a bigger blessing than getting to spend time with the extended family and really getting to enjoy them.
Yes.
Well, Sharon, one of the reasons that I asked you on today's show has been kind of dedicated to having various hosts come on and talk about what they think the biggest stories of the past year has been and what our takeaways should be. So I couldn't do a show like that without inviting you on to. And like I told folks earlier in the show, as far as the guests are concerned, I've had some folks that are listeners' favorites, and you're certainly among that list. But you're a real friend of the show, and you've been on almost enough to be considered a co-host at times, I think.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I really enjoy coming on and having gotten to know you this last year. It's been wonderful.
I feel the same way, and I appreciate you saying that. But let's get to the topic, shall we? What do you think were the biggest stories of this past year?
The biggest stories. There's so many. But, of course, the one story, the one thing that is changing the face of America as we know it and purposely done so is Obamacare and the way that it's been handled, the way things are. You know, of course, it's not one story. It's a series of stories, but it's one action taken by our government that is the catalyst for what they have planned for America. And I think it's something that, you know, people are wanting to know about and wanting to hear about. And all the new things come out, you know, every few days or every couple of weeks, something new comes out and some new revelation or some new thing comes out that, you know, where we find out what they've done and who's done it and what their plans are. And it's a big story.
Right. Yeah, I think it is ultimately going to be a catalyst for waking up a lot of the folks that I refer to as the Kool-Aid drinkers, because at this point there's no denying that Obamacare is not free. And that ultimately was what all those people who had supported him up to this point really was hoping to get out of it. And now they're finding out that those of us on the right who had been warning from the beginning that this is a trap, don't fall for it, you can't make it work, it's unsustainable. A lot of these folks are seeing that cold, hard reality now. And it's
well, I've been doing some research on some things that have sent me to some progressive and socialist websites. And I've been reading some really interesting stuff from their perspective about the effects of Obamacare and the website and its problems and all the things that, you know, that we as conservatives, we look at it and we go, well, we've been telling you this for years. And the reality is that these people – and at these progressive sites are looking at it, and they're going, well, gee, this thing isn't working. So that means now we'll get to go ahead and have our, you know, our one-payer system. We'll go ahead and get our socialized medicine. So they're looking at it as this is the you know, the windfall for them to get the socialized medicine that they've been after for so long. And so, you know, while we're looking at it as I'm sure hoping people wake up, they're looking at it as, I'm sure glad this has happened because it's, you know, bringing to pass what, you know, what we've been wanting all along. So it's a whole, you know, the difference in the perspective is just, you know, mind-boggling. And we know that there's a lot of people. Like, I heard a, you know, a guy say, or read where a guy said, "Well, I thought it was, you know, was awesome, and you know, until I found out that I was going to be paying for it, you know." And I mean, that's the way it's hitting Americans now. And
right.
The Kool-Aid drinkers are listening to these other guys, you know, and while this, you know, going to go to that socialized, perfect medical system, you know, the one world medical or one global or one payer system or whatever, and socialized medicine. And so it's a big story, and, you know, it's a life-changing. It is a nation-changing story because it affects right. every area of our lives, not just the 20% or the 17% of our economy, but it affects everything. It affects our health. It affects our life. It affects our death. It affects birth. It affects, you know, everything. And it's a big story. And unfortunately, it's not finished being.
Yeah, this is definitely one that the effects will be felt for a very long time to come if something isn't done to repeal and end this. And, of course, they're biding their time. One of the things I've been saying from the beginning, and I know I'm not the only voice that's been saying this, and there still seems to be some debate among some folks, but I think it was obvious that this was designed to fail from the beginning. They wanted mm-hmm. this, and it was part of their nudge tactics where they were hoping that everyone would suddenly clamor for that single-payer system, which is, of course, right. just code for completely socialized medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
And there will be some folks that will go that route because they feel like they still can't afford things. But I know that by the virtue of having tried to sign up for this and now seeing the lie that Obamacare was going to do away with bad insurance policies,
mm-hmm.
It's woken a lot of folks up. These people couldn't get insurance before because they couldn't
right.
afford it. And now they look at what's there, and there's less coverage available for more money than they would have been paying if they could have afforded it in the first place.
Right.
The folks outside of the – go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, when you look at you look at it and you look at the family, because they say that a family of four or five by, I think, the end of next year is going to be paying about $20,000 a year for their annual premiums for insurance. I mean, many families in America don't live on that much, and yet that's what it's going to cost for their insurance. That's going to be a, you know, a base stripped-down model policy, which is, you know, really not going to cover very much. And then, of course, that's going to include a lot of very high, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but anyway, deductible. And so, but the thing is, you pay a fine of a couple of hundred dollars a month for not having insurance, and so a lot of people are going to have to opt out to pay $200 or so a month because they can't afford insurance. So now they're going to be paying not to have insurance. And, you know, and it's crazy. The whole system is crazy. And it's like, you know, right now we're looking at paying our house off. My husband and I are working very hard to have our house paid off soon. And you know, the thing is we need to make sure that we can afford our taxes so that we don't get in trouble down the road for some reason. You know, you still got the taxes no matter what you do. But now
right.
Obamacare can, you know, can lay claim to your house if you don't pay for insurance and have insurance. So the whole thing is set up to completely take away, you know, private property and, you know, the whole financial system as we know it. I mean, not just economically, but everything in our lives revolves around Obamacare. And I hate that term, Obamacare, because there's no care involved at all. It's, you know, it's awful.
It's more Obama don't care. But
exactly.
I think there is still an honest-to-goodness disconnect with a lot of these politicians, though. The ones mm-hmm. that actually still kind of believe that this is a good deal, because a lot of them are financially well-off enough that they have no idea that people would struggle to come up with an extra $200, $400 a month. They have no idea that the average American outside of the Beltway has to do in order to make ends meet. And it's
right.
not much different than the Republicans' reaction to the government shutdown and feeling like, oh, well, now we have to acquiesce to everything because we were the losers of that. Even though once you get outside of the Beltway,
mm-hmm.
the mood kind of equally blames everybody instead of, oh, this was a loss for the Republicans, a win for the Democrats.
Right.
The bottom line there is we really do need to get senators and even representatives operating back in their home districts. We've got to get politicians out of D.C.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to eliminate this stranglehold the Beltway mentality has on our elected officials, or I'm afraid that's just not going to change. But
well, you know,
I
was surprised the other day when someone wrote on Lady Patriots that they had been living in Arizona, I believe, during the last elections, and they said that in Arizona, I don't know how it is in other states. In fact, I'm gonna check into it because it just floored me when I found this out. But and I guess maybe it's something everybody knows, and I just didn't know it. But anyway, that you know, that in the primary, that the only ones that can vote are the Republicans and the Democrats. That independents can't vote, and so therefore, that's why we keep getting these rhinos like McCain, because the only ones voting are the Democrats and Republicans, and so over a third of the people aren't even allowed to vote who would vote and want to vote in the primary, and the primary. It's the most important vote we have, because if we don't vote in the primaries, then we're stuck with what the people that do vote in the primaries gives us to vote for in the election. It just doesn't make sense, and the whole system is set up so that it's done by the two-party system, and, you know, and, of course, the rhinos are getting in that way, and that's how they're getting so much power. And so we've got to find some way to get some, you know, to get some other people in there and get these, you know, get the rhinos. And it's done in the primaries. We've got to get people voting in the primaries. And that's what's going to make the difference. I just, you know, I was talking to Julia not before last. I hadn't had a chance to talk to her. She's been at school so long, my partner at Lady Patriots. And we were discussing this and how important it is, you know, to get the primary, because we'll have a very good idea in March, by the time this primary takes place, what's happening in the country and what very likely could happen in the November election just by what goes on in the primaries. And so we're going to have to do something, Tim. We're going to have to do something to get people, to reach people, to make people understand that they have to get out of their house earlier and go vote. Because they're the very ones that could, you know, make the difference. Their one vote might make the difference in the primaries to give us the right candidate in November.
Okay.
So that's a big thing
to me. Oh, well, you're absolutely right. A call to action is exactly what we have to have across the country. There are several rhinos that need to be primaried out. And then
mm-hmm.
we, the people, are going to have to stand up and support those other people that we put in their place instead of letting them be bowled over by the party politics from the other side.
Right. Absolutely.
One of the scariest things that you can see in politics is when somebody looks like they really are looking to make a change, how quickly the people you thought were in your camp will align with the people in the other camp to try and squash that
mm-hmm.
real spark of change.
Right.
Absolutely. Are there any other big stories from the past year that you really think we need to keep in mind as we move forward?
Yes, there are. There are two, and they're connected as far as I know and as far as I'm concerned. Benghazi and Extortion 17. Extortion 17 was a terrible thing that happened, and I firmly believe I've studied into it, and we've met with the Bonds, and I've read their books, and I've read other things out there, and I believe that that our vice president is responsible for a lot of bloodshed that took place, and the thing is, Extortion 17 opened the door for Benghazi, and so I think we need to really keep those on the forefront, not on the back burner, but on the forefront, because those are the things that, you know, if our they're killing our military. We know that. But if our military can't trust that no man will be left behind, and they can't, and they know that now, then our military is it's a whole different thing now. And we need to find the truth, because Hillary Clinton is coming out strong, and she's really wanting to represent us in 2016. But she can only, you know, she doesn't represent anybody, but she's guilty. And it needs to be kept alive.
Yes. Do you have any predictions for the upcoming year that you think might be a bit surprising to the rest of us?
I think that this next year we're going to see a lot of changes in our country. And I would love to say and believe that we're going to turn things around politically. But I don't know. I'm not confident that a lot of things are going to happen. But, I believe that that we're going to see a lot of change, and we're going to see, you know, a lot of things that we won't want to see. And I believe spiritually there's going to be some changes. I think that, you know, that as Christians we're going to find that doors are going to start slamming in our face a whole lot more. We're going to find that, you know, we're going to get in trouble for doing things we've always done. That's my computer going nuts, by the way, so let me... Anyway, I don't know politically what's going to happen. I think we're going to find some cool things are going to happen, and we're going to have some stuff that we're not really looking forward to. But I do know this. We're a good country, and we have good men and women, good people. There's some idiots out there, and somehow the idiots have gotten in control. The American public are good people, and they're tough. The American patriot is a tough, tough breed. So I know the next year is going to be an interesting year, and I just, you know, I'm trying to figure next year I'm going to be sitting in this chair wondering, you know, wow, I never saw that coming. And so I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that we have some good people out there that are fighting this battle, and we have some great leaders that are fighting. And we need to get behind our leaders, and we need to put good leaders in and stand behind them. Like you said, we need to stand behind those that are doing it. And so we'll just see next year what happens. And by this time next year, we'll have had the election, and hopefully we'll have a whole new direction.
Hopefully, and I can't say amen to that loud enough. Well, we are kind of closing into the last couple minutes of the show, so real quick, do want to extend you congratulations on the continued success of LadyPatriot.com. And again, remind all the listeners that now the Lady Patriots have taken over management of formerly PatriotSpace.com. Now it's LadyPatriotSpace.com. Let everybody go over there. You're also hosting Speaking Out, another great show here on Blog Talk. But
On Monday nights at 8 o'clock Central Time. And you can go to Our Lady Patriots website or page and get the information.
All right. And if folks were looking for Lady Patriots website, what would that website be?
It's www.lady-patriots.com.
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Schutz. I greatly appreciate you taking the time on obviously a very busy Sunday for a lot of us. As always, it's a pleasure to speak to you, and I'm very grateful for both your friendship and your time here on the show.
Thank you, Tim. You have a wonderful new year. God bless you.
And God bless you as well, and I do hope you have a very blessed new year as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to have to pretty much do the show. We're less than a minute left, but did want to go ahead and thank all of today's guests, both those who made it in and those who didn't. Sarah Marie Brenner was fantastic, and like I said, please check out her show whenever you get a chance. You won't be disappointed. Larry over at The Prime Directive, he's got a really good show. I hope that you guys check it out. Do you still want to go ahead and thank Brant Williams, Wayne Dupree, and Annie the Radio Chick for having agreed to come on? Not real sure what happened, but hopefully everything's okay, and we'll try to get those folks on again at another date. definitely want to thank Dr. Sharon Schutz for finishing up, and better than never. Always remember, though, no matter what, don't take my word for it. Definitely, definitely don't take their word for it. Take a little time, do your own research, use your brain, and always be prepared to work a little bit harder to tap into the truth. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll see you next Sunday.